Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all our praise, worship, and adoration. Father, we are thankful for another opportunity to come into your house. We thank you, Lord, that the gathering of your people are unto you. And where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. Father, we are gathered here tonight to just lock in with you, to experience you, to hear you, to understand the things of the Spirit, that we together, by the leading of your grace, through the power of your grace, will live life to the full in accordance to your word, having been led by your Spirit, experiencing the elevation that your hand of grace accords us. Thank you, Father, for your amazing grace, your loving kindness, your tender mercies, for peace which passes all understanding. Thank you for the great privilege of access. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you tonight. Tonight we are going to continue our discuss on service. Serving is the kingdom of God's MO, method of operation. God calls us to serve. And I don't know if I'll be able to get to it tonight, but if I'm able to, I will tell you from the Word of God what the lack of service creates. You will not like to hear it. But the root of sinful living comes out of a lack of service. Because service is unselfish. So the flip side of that is selfishness. And selfishness will bring about all kinds of sinful attitudes and actions. People who are busy serving, faithfully serving, not out of selfish reasons, out of a pure heart, will live holy unto God. Because they have a fear of God, and they have a love of God, they have a reverence of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we started out this discussion starting with Romans chapter 12. Where the Word of God says to us, Paul speaking, says, therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And for most believers, they don't see that verse as the verse that opens out the subject of service. How many of you, let me just have a wave of hands for a quick moment. How many of you saw chapter 12 and that verse as a verse that was dealing with service before we started talking about it? How many of you saw it that way? Wave. I don't know if I saw any hands up. But that will be true of most of the church. It's your reasonable service. Yeah, present yourself holy, acceptable unto God. But you didn't. That means I should live a holy life. That my mind should be renewed so I can live a holy life. Right? That's how we saw the verse. Most believers, that's how they see the verse. But they don't see the real key aspect of that this whole verse and the following verses about faith had to do with serving God and serving each other. So chapter 12 of Romans, contextually, is dealing with us being servants of God, serving God, doing it by faith, recognizing that serving means sacrifice. That if you are not sacrificing, you're not going to serve. It takes sacrifice to serve. It takes you changing your thinking from me, myself, and I, do it for me, and flipping it around and saying, you know, this is not about people just doing stuff for me. This is about me going out there, reaching out there, and doing things for other people. That this is what it is all about. Well, as we went deeper into the passage, we became very aware of that particular thought in the kingdom of God. Then we went on to chapter 4 this morning of Ephesians, where God's word teaches us again to be knit together, connected, being one body, that we are different members but one body, that we are to be into each other, to assist in the things of God. Let me just go to Ephesians chapter 4 and just read some of it, and then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. Ephesians 4, beginning to read from about verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Why did he descend? He descended to serve us. True? Jesus came to serve us. He came to die for our salvation. He ascended, and he says he ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things from the top to the bottom, restored with the spirit of service. Why is that so? Because it was sin came because the devil wanted to be served rather than to serve. So that spirit of not serving, which creates disservice to everybody, polluted everything from here all the way up. So Jesus, in his service of us, changed all of that, rose again from the dead, and purified everything all the way to the presence of the Father. Are we together so far? So he restored service. And everyone who has the Spirit of Christ has the spirit of serving in them. You cannot be a believer and not have the heart of service. If you are just about everybody do stuff for me, you don't have that spirit, and you don't have the spirit of Christ. Because Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, is all of that because of his service. And that service was a service of obedience to the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit and of the Father. Now, when he filled all things, he gave some the gift
and the grace of being an apostle. Some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are pastors and teachers, and all of those graces are graces to serve. Why and for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, mature, disciplined man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the purpose of God in all of this is to bring us into the fullness of who Christ is. Now, Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus, even though he was equal with God, the Father, humbled himself to serve. And that the Father then gave him a name that is above every other name. Philippians 2:8 says, and being, present tense continuous, found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Many years ago, the Lord said something to me that was profound. He said, if you are not under authority, don't expect anything to obey you. Huh? I said, well, what does that mean? He said, if you've not learned obedience and are under my authority, in essence, obeying me and serving me, then don't let your mind think that any demonic spirit is going to obey you. Because you're rebellious towards me, it will rebel against you. Because you're rebellious against me, things will rebel against you. He says, so if you want things, spiritual, material, immaterial, to obey you, learn to obey me and serve my purpose. Wow. You remember the sons of Sceva? One preacher at a time. Remember the sons of Sceva? They came and they were trying to cast out demons and said, we cast you demons out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches in Peter and wah, 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 wah. He says, Peter, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Who gave you the right to open your mouth, to start talking to me? And the one demonized man beat up seven guys and they were running down naked down the street because they were not subject to the name of Jesus Christ. Our authority. The centurion said, I'm a man under authority, and I say to this, go, and to that, go. I know you can just speak the word only and your words are going to be obeyed. So just speak your word and my servant is going to be healed. So serving God brings you to the realm of authority in Christ Jesus. Now, you must remember the word deacons. You know what deacons are? Diakonia. That though deacons are servants. The first installment of people that help to serve in the church were called deacons. And those deacons, because they served, received so much authority and power in their lives that they started functioning like the apostles were functioning. In fact, the first time the gospel reached Africa was because of a deacon called Philip. who was holding meetings, and while he was holding meetings, the power of God started moving supernaturally in a mighty way. He says, wow, this is what they normally happens with the apostles. It's happening with me. What am I going to do? And he calls for the apostles to come. Look at what is happening here. I don't know what to do. And the apostles start taking charge of it, and God led him by the Spirit out into the wilderness. Out from that miracle working experience, and he meets the Ethiopian eunuch in the desert, and he ministers to the Ethiopian eunuch, and that man takes the gospel to Ethiopia in Africa, and Africa received the word of God. It happened through a deacon who was serving. Why? Because God was trying. Remember, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, even unto the utmost parts of the earth. But who got it all the way to the utmost parts of the earth? A deacon, a servant. So when you are serving, you open yourself up to an anointing, because God is into service. Do you understand that most businesses, most of everything that happens in the world, bar none, whether you are a scientist, a doctor, a chef, an electrician, whatever it is that you do on this planet that makes money has to do with service. That's it. If you're a plumber, service. In fact, they will tell you, we'll provide you good service. It's all about service. If you're just about, do it for me, do it for me, do it for me, and you're not serving, you're done. Even the king in the UK understands that if he is not a servant to the people, and all he's there is putting on some fancy crown, that the people sooner or later will say, we don't like this king. Because the king is not interested in what affects us. He's just there for homage, and he just wants us to bring stuff. You have to serve. Are we together so far? Amen. Service covers it all. Now, because Jesus served, he's given a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, the things in the earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to what? To the glory of God the Father. Huh? So everything that's happening with Jesus, his name being above every other name, all of that is functional as long as it is bringing glory to the Father. So what do you think your service is supposed to do? Bring glory to the Father. I have a healing ministry. Look at me. I have a deliverance ministry. Look at me. If you are not pointing it all to the Father, you're all about yourself. And guess what the Lord Jesus Christ says? He says in the last day, some people are going to say, I did this in your name, and I did that in your name, I did that in your name. He's going to say, get away from me, I don't know you. You are all about yourself. You are not about me, and you are not about my people. God's call on my life is not to sit down on some high seat and have everybody look at me and say, oh, what a great pastor. Oh, and I say, yes, yes. I'm such a wonderful man of God. No. But there are people today, as I'm speaking to you right this very moment, that instead of giving the glory to God, are taking the glory that belongs to God unto themselves. I don't care how many people you think you led to the Lord, you're going to not enter into the kingdom of God. Period. Because the kingdom of God is about service. In fact, what do we call this when we came to church? We're going to a service. Is that not so? So the question you must ask yourself is, when you came to a service, were you serving? Are you serving when you came to the service? Or are you waiting to be served to understand that you I got No, we do both. We serve and we receive service. Because even God the Father serves. Every time He answers your prayer, He is serving you. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Actually, before we go to Galatians chapter 5, let's go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Colossians 3, 23. What does the Word of God say? It says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily or cheerfully, do it from your heart. Jesus, our Lord, said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with your mind, with your soul, with your will. And the second commandment is like the first, the same thing. Do it heartily as to the Lord. Whatever it is that you're doing, do it like you're doing it to the Lord and not unto what? Unto men. Why does he say that? Because God knows that if you have a heart to serve God, you want to bring your best to God. And so he says, just like you will do it for me, bring in your best to me, bring it to each other. Whatever it is that you do, bring your best. Now, the other aspect of that is this, that if I do not give honor in obedience to God, to serve God faithfully out of a pure heart as unto the Lord, bringing my best, I am not going to bring my best to people. If I cannot give my best to God, I'm not going to be able to give my best to people, whatever that best is. Whether it's my best financially, whether it's my best with my time, my best with whatever it is I have, if I cannot bring the best to God, I'm not going to bring it to people. So the clear manifestation that you are not truly altogether a servant, whose servant must be measured to the obedience that you are exercising in your relationship with God. It doesn't matter whatever it is that you're doing with men. If the best is not going to God, the fact is, whatever it is that you are showing in the natural is pretentious. It's not the truth. We've got to accept the Word of God. Amen? Do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. Why? Knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you do what? Serve the Lord Christ. Your reward is coming from him. Hallelujah. Your reward is coming from him. Now, telltale sign. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he had done. And there is no respect of persons. Oh, God is not a respect of persons. Guess why? Because he is into service. And he's saying, if you are not serving like you are serving me, your neighbor, he says, you're doing wrong. Now, did I read it wrong? Am I saying something off? Is that what the Word of God is saying? Read it contextually. Don't take the verse out by itself. Read it in connection to what it is saying. And what it's saying is, serve God. Everything that you're doing, serve anyone you're serving like you're serving Christ. And if you're not doing it that way, you're doing it wrong. Yes? That's what it said. It's been in our Bible. This is a foundation of how Jesus our Lord builds the church, that the gates of hell will not prevail over. The power of service. Now, let's understand that what we're talking about is not to condemn anybody, but to bring us to an understanding where we are convicted in our spirit and we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And it's in the renewal of in the spirit of our minds that we begin to prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Praise God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe, and starting to read from about verse 4, we read some interesting statements. It says here, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are not of the flesh, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. One of the things that Romans 12 and verse 3 tells us, it says, you got to think about yourself in proper order. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Here it's telling us we've got to cast down anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In essence, every area where you have been disobedient, when you begin to obey God, you deal with that particular aspect, you tear down that particular stronghold and tell that thing, you're not going to operate in my life ever again. Hallelujah. 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 It says, do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat of more of our authority which the Lord had given us for edification, building up, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. The authority God has given to me is to help build you up. and I'm going to exercise that. I'm going to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, let me just go on to Galatians chapter 5, trying to bring us to a clear understanding of the importance of service, that this is the MO of the kingdom of God. If you're part of the kingdom of God, you serve. A few months ago, maybe about 2 months ago, maybe three, I got a call from some guy and left a message. He says, please call me. So I called, and he was saying something about our flashing or something on the building. So I called and I said, exactly what did you see? He said, I saw your flashing on your building. It was loose and was flapping in the air, and it can break off and it might hurt somebody. I said, oh, thank you for letting me know. I'm going to call on somebody right away to go take care of it. He said, don't worry about it. I said, why not? He said, I already took care of it. This was some guy driving down on the street. He saw a need, and when he finished his job, wherever it was that he was doing it, he came, he and his team went up on our building and started fixing stuff. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He saw a need, and he doesn't attend this church. I don't know this guy from Adam. But he's driving down, and he saw something needed to be fixed, and goes up there and takes care of it. Do you think God saw that? Do you know what kind of blessings are coming upon the life of that man for just doing that? Serving. I don't know him, and guess what? His reward is from the Lord. It wasn't a dime that he was going to get from us. He didn't go up there and say, well, you know what, guy, I can fix it for you. If you don't have somebody, I can fix it for you, and all you need to pay me is blah, 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 blah. No, he just did it. As unto the Lord. And I can testify of the goodness of God because of that man. He just saw it and started fixing it. What do you and I see that we don't take care of? It's none of my business. Well, child of God, it's your business. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Remember, the word of God says we're redeemed from the agora, the marketplace of slavery, and we're redeemed to become free men. Praise the Lord. Now he says, you've been called unto liberty. You've been called unto freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use your liberty that God has given to you to the occasion of the flesh, but by love, do what? Serve one another. So it says right there, liberty for an occasion of the flesh is contrary to service. Oh. Help me. Somebody help me. Are you seeing it? You don't see it yet. Let me explain. Brethren, you have been called unto liberty, unto freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh. Don't say, I'm free now, and start doing the things of the flesh, but rather by love, serve one another because you are free. So your freedom is for your service. Come on, somebody help me. Is that what the Word of God is saying or not? Your freedom is for you to serve, which means that if you're not serving, you are going to give occasion to the flesh. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You want to be served? Serve. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. What God's intent is for us to serve each other, not to bite at each other. He says, if you're doing that, you're going to consume each other. You're going to destroy yourselves. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is not just adultery and fornication and drunkenness and drug addiction. The lust of the flesh is serve me. That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. It's all about me. And when it's all about you and you're self-centered and selfish and it's all about you, what happens? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Context: we started out with service. And the lack of service is creating an atmosphere that is conducive for all of these vices. Make sense? Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. That's where we started. If you're serving, you're operating in love. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. And from that fruit of the Spirit, which is love, its manifestation is in joy, it is in peace, it is in long-suffering, it is in gentleness, it is in goodness, it is in faith, it is in meekness, it is in temperance, and against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But if you're serving, don't be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. God calls us to serve. That's why you say, this is a servant of God. What does a servant of God do? A servant of God serves. Serves whom? God. And he's serving God by serving people. So John says, how can you say that you love God, whom you've not seen, when you don't love your brother that you see? The proof that I love God is that I love people. And if I love people, I have to be meek. I have to be patient. Let's flip back two verses. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust of the flesh. Remember what we talked about earlier, not walking in the Spirit in service means that we're fulfilling the laws of the flesh and therefore not fulfilling the laws of love. So back to the beginning, verse 19 is a clear manifestation of practices when we don't have the servant's heart. I'm about my pleasure. What can I get from this? What is it in it for me? That's how we sell our souls. If you love God, you're going to serve. And if you are serving, God says, it's got to be sacrificial. So you'll find out that people who serve keep on serving. And if they keep on serving out of the spirit of love, they will never burn out. Because the Spirit of God keeps on energizing them. And they will keep on getting promoted in the things of God. If there's any gifting in their lives, it gets sharpened. You're growing in your gifting. But if it's all about you, and it's all about a show, you will die and become unfruitful. I made you a promise many years ago. It's a promise I made to the Lord. And I made to myself. And it was this. In a paraphrase sense, it was simply this. The day that I start seeing you as my source, that's the day I drop the Bible and let somebody else go preach. But as long as I see you as ones God has called me to serve, to minister to tell the truth to, then that's all I'm going to do. I am not going to compromise the truth so that somebody likes me, because that then is ceasing to be a servant. I stop being a servant of the people, a servant of God, when I look at your eyes and tailor make the message so that you like me. No, every Sunday, every time you hear me preach, I must be stepping on something. I'm going to be stepping on something because we are being perfected. Amen? Hallelujah. We are being perfected. It's not about condemning. It's about getting convicted and God sharpening me, making me a sharper weapon. Amen? He's filing off the rough edges so that I am sharp, so that you are sharp, so that we are sharp. So it doesn't matter wherever we go, we are a dangerous people to the devil. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Just creating havoc in the kingdom of darkness. Because we know who we are, and we know why we are here, and what God has called us to. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop there at this point. I think the point has been made. If you're not serving God and serving His people, watch out. Sin is at the door. Period. The church that Jesus Christ is going to come for is a church that is sold out to Him and bringing the word out to people everywhere. Find a place to serve. Find out how God can use you in serving. You've got it inside of you. Amen? You've got it inside of you. Use your particular gift. Your particular gift may not be mine, and mine may not be yours, but it's a gift given by God, not for yourself, but to be given to people. Amen. Hallelujah. When you forgive, it's because you're given forgiveness. And He says, do everything that you do for Christ's sake. Rise with me. By His grace, I have shared the word of God with us today. And every one of us are one particular level or the other in our walk with God. But having heard the word of God today, maybe your heart says to you, you know what? I need to start serving. God has something that I can bring to the table. I'm going to use it. Lord, help me. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'd like to pray with you. See that hand? I see that hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know, I see the importance of service, but I don't know what my gifts are. I'd like to serve, but I don't know how. Pastor, will you pray with me that God will reveal to me what He has invested in me so I can begin to obey His instructions concerning that? I need you to help me. Pray for me. If that's you, just raise your hand. I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand. All right, I see that hand. Praise the Lord. You can put it down. Repeat after me these words. Father God, I receive your word, and I'm willing and obedient. I want to do the right thing, and I want to do it properly, speedily, for your glory and honor. I want to serve you and serve your people with the giftings that you have available. So, Lord, reveal to me my giftings. Energize these giftings so I can participate as a member in your body. Forgive me every sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And I declare judgment on every self-centered, selfish attitude that has had control over my life. I bring those thoughts subject to your word right now. And I say yes to your will, yes to your word. I receive your love, and I extend that love to those around me. Help me to serve faithfully so that you can say to me, when I stand before you, welcome, thou faithful servant. In Jesus' mighty name, I ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Yeah. The last statement to God, to us, is welcome, thou good and faithful servant. So if you're not a servant, don't think you're going in. Oh, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I'm going in. Are you a servant? That's a question you need to ask yourself. I hope I didn't bust too many balloons. I don't want to celebrate and say, oh, he's before the Lord, she's before the Lord, and then we'll find out, because you were not serving. That would not be good. That would, oh, my Lord, have mercy on our souls. Amen. Anyhow, I thank God for every one of you. I celebrate you. We look forward to ministering the word of God with you this Wednesday as we continue in the book of Proverbs. Amen. And then Friday's prayer meeting. And of course, Sunday is another time together. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, thank you. It's offering time. Did I drop my offering already? I hope I did. Okay, that's mine. Just honor God with your giving. And please do prayerfully consider giving towards the crusade coming up. Amen. And say bye to those that are on Facebook and YouTube and Reddit and all the other platforms that we are on. And good night, and stay blessed and highly favored of the Lord.